You know, I hear on Earth 4721, they actually show up to the recording of podcasts.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not here. No. I don't know what we've done wrong here, but it's just you and me.
It is. Yeah, it's over.
I'm here.
It was horrible when Keith died. I mean, I miss him.
At least he wasn't an anchor bee.
It was something that sounded very much like
well,
it.
Well, yeah, maybe. Dead. Maybe.
Sometimes I can almost hear his voice.
I'm alive! Yeah, I'm alive!
That? Anyway, let's crack on with Staggering Stories. Welcome, welcome to this in another of a long line of Staggering Stories podcasts.
So
I'm Faye Keith.
I'm Adam.
And I, yes, I...
are dead. We've just established that.
No,
stop
I'm
talking.
Alive.
Interloper from another dimension.
Now, I'm afraid there's only three of us because, well, Crumbly's dead.
Yeah.
And Jean has run off with someone.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Well... it's probably a cat, knowing Jean, but she's run off with someone and won't be joining us today.
Very rough tongues.
Well, that's always good.
How would you know?
He's been licked by a cat. Mm. Our cats, they know he hates them, so the buggers never leave him alone. So without further ado, this is going to be quite a short podcast.
Maybe.
But it's over to the news with El Presidente. Doctor Who news.
Oh, yeah.
Spin-off gets more actors.
That's always handy.
The War Between the Land and the Sea will be the first Doctor Who spin-off since the ill-fated Class and the first of this brave new Disney era. Mm. We already know that Gugu Mbatha-Raw and Russell Tovey would star and join unit regulars Gemma Redgrave as Kate Lethbridge-Stewart and Alexander Devrient as Colonel Christopher Ibrahim. Mm. Now that the table read for all five episodes has occurred, we can add a couple of extra actors into the mix, namely Ruth Madeley returning as unit scientific advisor Shirley Ann Bingham and Colin McFarlane back as US General Austin Pierce, last seen some 15 years ago in Torchwood: Children of Earth, and also played a different character in the Capaldi two-parter Under the Lake and Before the Flood. There is no word when we can expect to watch this sea devilry, but the smart money remains on autumn 2025 for both Disney Plus and the BBC iPlayer.
Mm.
Am I correct in thinking, was it General Austin Pierce who got the immortality?
No.
I am thinking of the different... right.
Different character.
That's okay.
He didn't have too much to do with Torchwood, but he basically took over from the British PM and...
okay.
...ended up taking the blame for a lot of the stuff that Prime Minister did in Children of Earth.
I sit corrected.
Yeah, that's okay. And, does this mean that little Morris Gibbons is dead? Has Shirley Ann Bingham offed him to reclaim?
No, as we discussed before, there are many scientific advisors at UNIT.
Yeah, they have to fight for dominance, surely.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, she's got rockets. He's 14.
But he had guns in his little segue.
He did, but he's too young to use them. It's a terrible disadvantage to give the boy.
He did let off a fuse on the...
yeah, and now he's in time out for doing that.
Oh, I see.
He didn't fill in the paperwork.
Yeah.
Blake 7 Blu-ray collection begins.
Ooh.
Blake and his merry band of misfits had all four of their seasons released on DVD back between 2003 and 2006. And now Blake 7 is going to get a similar treatment to classic Doctor Who with Blu-ray releases of each season.
Ooh.
All 13 episodes of the first season have been remastered in upscale HD by the same team behind Doctor Who collection box sets, including scanning original location film where available.
Ooh.
There will be a dis... oh, I'm sorry, Kevin. There will be an optional updated special effects on each episode.
Okay.
Matthew Sweet has shuffled across to bring us his usual in-conversation interviews from the Doctor Who range, but now for Blake 7. In this case, featuring Sally...
Sally Nivette.
Thank you, Sally Nivette, aka Jenna Stannis, and director Michael E. Bryant. Some 20 years ago, Kevin John Davis, creator of such documentaries as The Making of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and Doctor Who 30 Years in the TARDIS, did much the same for an inclusion on a Blake 7 DVD range that was not taken up at the time. But now, the first of that four-part series will finally see the light on this box set. There will also be a newly created documentary of the making of the first series. In addition, there will be a Stephen Graff tribute, convention footage, audio commentaries, and PDF documents, and more. It can be had for $39.99 and is due for release on the 11th of November.
Is that all four seasons?
No.
No, this is just going to be the first season at the moment.
$39.99 for one season?
Well...
13 episodes, and that is roughly around the cost of... I know it's 22 episodes, but roughly around the cost of a Who DVD.
Yeah, I don't think that's not too bad. Compared to the season one we had recently of Gatwa's first season, that was more like £50, and that was only 8 episodes.
Yeah, but that was new. This is 40 years old. This is 50 years old. Oh, God, I was going to buy them all, but you're going to have to talk me into this one.
This is new-ish.
Yeah, it's been updated. Well,
cosmically speaking, yes, 1979 was really close.
It has had a whole new range of special effects. It has new documentaries.
The special effects, talking about, they've actually gone back and created new miniatures.
Yeah.
They've shot new miniatures.
I saw that, yeah.
It's not like it's CG. They've actually... Yeah. Recreated.
There's a shot of Mike Tucker and, oh God, what was his name? Matt Irving, yes.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah.
I look forward to seeing how they look. Obviously, we've got more modern motion control and stuff like that than they were using back in the BBC at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should look 70s-ish, but more like Star Wars in the 70s.
Well, I do remember in one of the seasons, they had a dirty great big ring around all the figures. And you could explain it in your head. That's the force field.
Yeah, on account of how some of us were 10. Yeah.
No, I pre-ordered it, so, you know. Apparently, next season will only be commissioned if it sells well enough. So, if you want it, buy it, or no more will come along.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's the only way to make more.
I know. That's not fair. Why can't they do the... I'm sulking now.
On a similar note, Star Wars, Acolyte, cancelled.
Oh.
No.
Yeah. Star Wars has been somewhat struggling under Disney's ownership. What with announced projects vanishing from the schedules, the lukewarm reception to many of their efforts, and some increasingly toxic parts of the fandom. The latter appears to have gotten their way with The Acolyte, cancelled mere weeks after its first season concluded on Disney+. The series was set in the High Republic era, 100 years before the prequel films, and had begun to set the stage for the Sith. Sadly, those teased elements will not be further explored in the second season, though may well end up in a book or comic at some point. A review bombing campaign for a group of so-called fans didn't help matters, and viewership suffered, ending what could have been a very interesting direction to Star Wars storytelling. Next up for Disney Plus is the more family-aimed Skeleton Crew live-action series, starting on the 3rd of December.
It's such a shame that these dicks get so much, are given so much credence.
I know. Ultimately, it's down to the ratings more than anything, but the reception wasn't great.
Yeah, because these people didn't like it and shouted the loudest. It's always the way. And it happens in all fandoms.
Yeah. I did watch Acolyte. I'm not raving about it, but I am not throwing mud. It was what it was.
It probably, to be fair, probably was the weakest of the live-action series, but it had great potential. And
Jamie really enjoyed it. Construct number two.
Yeah. That's some great lightsaber action in there.
As I've always said, and I've always maintained, you've got to give something at least 3 seasons to get its act together. For the writer to understand the actors to understand the character.
That's not the way the world works anymore.
I know that.
You need to go and talk to Netflix.
Yeah. As a prime example, first season of Next Gen.
Yeah.
Well, first couple of seasons of Next Gen. It didn't click in until
season 3, really.
Yeah, mid part of season 2, season 3.
Yeah, it's true.
So what also repeatedly goes through my mind, I know it wasn't the sole reason, but one of the reasons Who got cancelled the first time round is because they received nothing but complaints about it.
Yeah, she's crazy.
It was one of the deciding.
He's doing okay in the ratings.
Yeah, I admit that's not the only factor, but it is one of the deciding factors.
That was especially annoying because the last of the season of the original run was really strong.
He got its act back together.
Yeah, yeah, those last couple of seasons in particular were really good.
But then you had people like Ian Levine.
Yeah.
Who, again, shouted the loudest.
Yeah, it's a real shame. And you got this corner of fandom, which got a female protagonist. It's woke, you know. Yeah. Oh, come on.
Yeah, grow up.
It's the same old argument. It's not what you... And as I've said on many occasions, it's fine to fall out of love with something. You change. It changes. But why sit there and just bitch about it? If you don't like it, walk away.
You've got to remember, though, some of these poor devils, poor darlings, they've never actually touched a woman's boob, so they can't understand how a woman is good for anything other than the making them a cup of tea and going, yes, you're mummy's little sausage, aren't you?
Love you.
No, you're not like that. It's just these dicks living in basements. I don't care if one of them's a CEO of whatever and is a high achieving. Well, obviously not talking about you then, am I? But you dicks in the basement who shout and shout about things you don't understand. God, I'm irked.
I can tell.
We're coming to the end of our holiday, so I'm not happy.
There were a couple of great cameos in that final episode, which were setting things up for the future, which looks really interesting.
Yeah.
If you don't like something, just stop watching it. Don't spoil it for everyone else.
Yeah.
Bastards.
Are we turning grumpy?
I haven't actually seen any episodes of it.
Oh,
but
okay.
It's just the principle of the thing.
Oh, yeah.
And as I said, Contract number 2 really likes it.
Yeah,
good. Mm. It's a different take. Obviously set 100 years earlier.
Yeah, not laid down with the baggage of the Empire and...
Exactly. It's a mystery investigation by a group of Jedi.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Supercell.
Yeah.
Netflix grants a second season.
Mm.
Having more luck is Netflix's Supercell, the South Londoners gaining superpowers series, which will be getting that second season. Perhaps most notable to us is that it stars Tosin Cole, a.k.a. Doctor Who's Ryan Sinclair, don't you dare. Creator Andrew Onwuobolu, a.k.a. Rapman, said of the news, Supercell Season 1 is my Batman Begins. It's a prequel of what they'll be like. Season 2 is when you really see what they become. That future you saw at the end of the pilot in London, that exact future doesn't exist anymore. They've changed everything. It's going to be interesting when we get into the writer's room. They are clearly some way off filming, so expect a bit of a wait for season 2.
I've not got this at all, but this, by contrast, did really well in the ratings. It was up there, Netflix top few shows for quite a while.
Have to look at it. I haven't seen one of those yet.
Mm. It sounds very much like Misfits to me, but...
It does a bit, doesn't it?
I'm sure it is.
South Londoners getting powers.
It's probably not a comedy in the same way either.
Any addendums?
Well, I had heard that the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy reboot that was that was attached on 2019.
Yeah, Hulu or whatever it was. Yeah.
On Hulu has now been cancelled. Without any word from Hulu in many years, we should consider this show officially cancelled. It's a shame. The world was waiting for it.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if it's not been officially cancelled, then it's still in limbo. But yeah, I think after all this time, it's probably unlikely to resurface.
I think it was first mentioned in 2019. You can give them a year for 2020 or maybe 2 years for 2020.
Yeah. Permission to be grumpy again, sir?
Be grumpy away.
Why? Why do we need a reboot of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? We had the... It's been in every form. It's been in cuneiform, hieroglyphics... The 70s TV show, the 70s radio show,
the LP,
film.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why?
Books,
why?
Clearly, the towel.
Why?
Graphic novel.
You're not going to make it better than the original.
And every version is different.
Version is different.
But why? You, don't you go all pompous on me. You sat in the cinema when we were watching the trailers and said, why is everything remakes? Actually, I'm pointing at the wrong one. It was you.
That was me,
You said, why is everything remakes?
Everything's a remake or a sequel. Yeah, it was.
I'm not happy.
I don't know. I'd been interested to see what they do with it. But
I would have been interested to see what they do with it.
I suspect it would have come a bit short of our expectations. But
I'm glad it's cancelled.
This is it. I didn't mind the film. I honestly didn't mind. My heart sank at the opening credits, but actually I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. It was good.
Because I went in there with very doubtful conceptions, I enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah, it was very, very, very good.
I struggled with it because it took familiar lines and just cut off the end, jokes.
This is it, because you were disappointed because the plot turned left when you're expecting it to turn right.
to a degree, but yeah, I need to rewatch it because there's good stuff in there.
There is.
The point of view gun and all that sort
yeah?
of thing.
Yeah.
You've got to remember.
And it had the crabs.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's things that were mentioned in later books, but.
Yeah. Anyway, if you have any news you'd like to share with us, please write to us via show
at staggeringstories.net.
I'm repeating this address a lot, this podcast, because no bugger's written to us. And this is probably why I'm in a bad mood and feeling unloved quite generally in life.
I love you.
I can hear his voice again. It's such a shame he died. Right, we've been listening to stuff.
We have.
Namely, Big Finish.
Bah, 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 bah.
The Paternoster Gang. Pause for music. Right, we've been listening to The Trespassers 2 box set, The Casebook of Paternoster Row, starring the usual suspects.
Indeed. Mm.
Now, it was left off at a cliffhanger last time.
It was at the marriage.
And this is one of the reasons that Jean isn't here. She was hoping we'd find out more, that there would be answers to some of the questions. But this is actually the second box set of 4, the last of which won't be out till May, the third of which will be out this December. So lots more questions came out, but not many answers.
No.
And Jean threw a strop and ran off with their cats.
Yep.
It's an enjoyable box set. Yep. I loved it immediately, but it is very much a placeholder because the plot doesn't really move forward.
The main overall plot, yeah. So these are casebooks, so it's Vastra looking back on older cases, it seems. Yep. Yeah.
Complete with flashback.
Yeah.
I just love everything that these three do.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're fantastic. This box set has a changeling shapeshifter theme running through it.
Yeah.
The first one is like Victorian era, obviously, and you've got someone who's basically shagged a chameleon and has got a daughter out of it. The next one is about something hiding in the sewers of London, eating the poor.
Yeah.
And the last one is a crime wave all over London, carried out by the same person, seemingly at the same time.
Of all of them, my favourite is the last one, but we'll come to that in a minute.
Yeah.
I mentioned last time that one of the stories was probably closest to a Sherlock Holmes story, if you cut out. I get the same feeling with this, the first story in this one, is this daughter is being married off against her will to someone she doesn't know, which again is a staple of a Sherlock Holmes story. Shenanigans are going on and somebody's going to get an inheritance that they don't deserve.
It's also a staple of high-class Victorian society.
It's based
on Anthony Trollope story, isn't it?
Yes.
And speaking of which,
name-dropped a lot.
Yeah, poor old Jenny has been trying to read this Trollope book all the way through.
Lots of jokes about her and her Trollope.
Yeah.
But of course, this young heiress, she's in love with the stable lad.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a wuss, isn't he?
Who's into dung. Because he shovels out the horses.
He does shovel out the horses, yes, and he smells quite ripe.
Has a distinctive aroma, I think it's pointed out.
And you've got Vastra acting as a lady's lady, where Jenny's the waitress and Strax is the butler.
I think Vastra is the housemaid.
No, Jenny's the housemaid.
No. The
housekeeper.
The governess. The housekeeper, yeah.
Yeah.
This is the one with Tom Baker.
Yes.
As the fourth doctor.
Keith wasn't happy.
Pretending to be the solicitor or something.
Yeah, I have a little bit of trouble with Tombo in this one. I know he's marvellous. I know he's wonderful.
Yeah.
But I wish it was more the Doctor and less Tom Baker.
Right.
You said it reminded you of when you started going off
the
show, when it became the Tom Baker comedy half hour.
His presentation is very much that, the Tom Baker comedy half hour. Deep, growling, gravelly voice for no reason. High-pitched, squeaky voice for no reason.
Presumably to set you in that era of his time.
I am not denying that. It didn't put me off this story. It is my least favourite of this little box set.
I don't know. the feeling he wasn't with them when he recorded.
Quite possibly. I don't think he... I don't know when this is recorded, but he's at the very late 80s at this point in time.
I think
time.
He records so, from home, but...
Yes, that's it. He records
were
from
they
home.
On the link at the same time he recorded? I don't know. I didn't don't feel know. Like yeah. they were it's quite that, in the same it, scene
it,
sometimes.
It felt disjointed.
Yeah, it did, but yeah.
Because like I said, it feels more like Tom Baker out of Baker's Dozen than a Doctor Who story.
Yeah.
It was recorded in September 2023.
Yeah. So, I mean, that it just jarred with me slightly. Yeah, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's terrible. It just made it the least favourite.
I was a bit surprised that McGann wasn't in it.
Yeah.
I thought it would just carry on straight
almost
from...
Almost instantly, yeah.
But it didn't. He'd gone off to whatever he's going to do next.
The mites, the despair mites had been defeated and drowned, so there was no reason for him to be there.
Didn't need to stay there, yeah.
Yeah.
The second one was my favourite.
Oh,
the Summers, yes.
Paternoster.
Yes.
The proper pronunciation
of it, yes.
There's something in the sewers of London. Itchy head.
Was it an itchy head in the sewers of London? Well, I'm not surprised. There's all manner of nasty things down there. Yeah.
And we have our first hint that, we have another blatant hint that something's wrong with Jenny. Because she is taking the down and outs, the people who are living down there.
Mm-hmm.
And Jenny makes a comment about it being their choice, etc., which isn't what Jenny would say.
Mm.
Jenny would be sympathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Vastra picks up on it because she tries to call it out at the end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a little clues. I think Strax comes into his own by mentioning there is no rats. All the rats in the sewers have gone, which is rather strange.
Sewers. Dum, dum, dum.
So Taurus have had a history of trying to eat rat, haven't they? Oh, that was Shockeye more than
That was Shockeye. Yeah. It's with the Centaurans there, it was more Shockeye. Certainly the guy who played the Paternoster.
Yeah.
You get the feeling sort of literally halfway through that the vehement denial of any monsters in there is sort of a slight clue that he's may not be entirely what he seemed.
Yeah.
Jamie Newell.
Yeah.
So this the Weave, this one?
The Weave. Interesting concept. They're not evil in and themselves.
It's got one Chef 13, wasn't it? Got left behind.
And I do like the fact the prologue.
Mm.
You get an explanation for the different looking Silurians.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Silurians from the Pertwee era apparently are the West Coast tribe.
Yeah.
While Madame Vastra's Silurians, the Silurians of the New Era, are the East Coast tribe. And they don't necessarily get on, but they tolerate each other.
So the warriors on the cheap Silurians.
Yes.
You wouldn't want to be associated with them if you could look like Vastra or look like that.
Yeah.
And they were taking delegates from alien worlds visiting. So, yeah.
Well,
they did have...
It's just we have seen, certainly in the new series, that
they've had space
flight.
Yeah, they did.
Because they had their ark ship with all the dinosaurs on.
Indeed. Yeah, that was a nice thing to see Vastra back in the day.
Yeah, and her full title. I can't remember, but Mistress of the Swords.
They introduced her, didn't they? Yeah. And the third one.
My favourite.
Come on then.
I can't remember the title. What's the title?
The Gentleman Thieves.
The Gentleman Thieves, yes. Where a gentleman cricketer, who's a professional stroke amateur, but is also a gentleman thief, has been cloned.
Indeed.
Now, I like this particularly because, like the previous box set, it harked back to...
Raffles, in this case.
It harked back to Karnak and Penny Dreadfuls, which was a very popular Victorian figure, character. Mm-hmm. They mention or hark back to Raffles.
Yes. Mm.
Which, again, is a very popular Victorian figure that was written by Arthur Conan Doyle's brother-in-law.
Okay. Well, he's more Edwardian, but yes.
Yeah, so he's meant to be a Sherlock Holmes figure, but... Not quite like Moriarty working for the other side, but has upright morals Sherlock.
Tries not to hurt anyone. He
only... Just
the game is in the thieving.
The game is the thieving. So it did fund certain amounts of his private life, but the fun is actually the stealing the item, not having the item itself.
And no doubt getting caught up in other crime, bigger crimes.
Yeah,
he helps
bigger,
solve.
Nastier crimes that he like solved.
Murder.
Because what they did was... Not cricket, not sportsmanlike.
Yeah. I don't know much about Raffles, but interesting character by the sounds of it.
Again, did late 70s, quite a few television stories. I think if you look on YouTube, there are,
sure, they'll be up there, yeah.
They're up there. Yeah, so
he's got his own Watson, apparently.
Yeah, Bunny.
Bunny.
Bunny, okay. if I remember rightly. Right. Bunny something.
Is Bunny a girl? Or
No.
Oh, Bunny's a bloke.
Bunny is a bloke. is more like how Watson is portrayed in the Basil Rathbone films.
Yeah.
More of a bumbling
buffoon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bumbling buffoon. But yeah. And certain aspects of Bunny play into the clones of this guy.
Yeah.
Because
degrades.
Yeah, because
as he's cloned.
It is a Centauran fast cloning machine, not a mass vat. This is a frontline cloning machine. So the clones slightly degrade off copy. More copies there are.
One thing I really, really liked about this one was how offended Strax got.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't played for laughs.
No,
he was genuinely...
We have the clone community.
Yeah. He was... Because they were treating the clones as less than people.
Yeah. And certainly when they were terminated.
Yeah. And it was just like, oh, that's that. And Strax was furious.
Outraged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very good performance from Dan Starr.
Oh, yeah. He has hidden shallows, does Dan Starr.
He does.
Yeah, in general, this box set has been a little lighter on the Strax comedy than the previous box set.
Yeah.
But sometimes the previous ones, they could perhaps overdo it just a bit.
Yeah.
This one, I thoroughly enjoyed. I had no problem at all with them being, this is what happened, stories in the past.
Yeah. Mm.
I would like to see them do more of that.
Yeah.
But no, I felt there was enough Straxisms to keep me happy.
Certainly when they got into what I'm assuming is Torchwood, the Torchwood HQ and all the weapons that they've got stored there.
Yeah.
This does wonder, does Big Finish Torchwood have a Victorian? Because I know they have a couple of timelines.
Is that with the guy from Dirk Gently?
I don't know.
Is that Victorian era?
I thought that was 1920s.
That may be a bit later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, is Paternoster going to turn up in any of the Torchwoods? Are we going to have a proper crossover?
Maybe the next box set won't have a Doctor. Maybe we'll have Torchwood instead.
One of the Strax things that did make me laugh was in the first one where he was taking a message from the girl to the stable boy.
Yeah.
this kid's going to end up dead.
Yeah. He actually starts hunting him
at
one point in time. Yeah.
So, yeah, we're looking forward to the next one of this. Yeah. And hopefully by May, it would have all wound up quite nicely and Jean can come out of her sulk.
So far, to my mind, both box sets have been cracking. There hasn't been a real dud.
No, not at all. I've thoroughly enjoyed them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have been really good. Definitely worth getting hold of, listening to.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And now that Big Finish have at least currently reverted to their previous website, you can still buy it. they had to revert entirely their new website and new app.
Okay.
It's just working so poorly for everybody.
Oh, that's a shame. Second time lucky, maybe.
Yeah. Well, all battle plans come a cropper when it meets the enemy.
Was it failure is always an option?
Yes.
Yeah. Very much in that case. But they seem to be getting back on top of it, hopefully.
And so you fail, you try again. When you stop trying, you have failed.
Yeah. Okay, if you've listened to any of the Paternoster gang, we'd like to know what you thought about them, because as mentioned before, nobody's bothered to talk to us.
Oh.
And, you know, Keith's nearly 60. You know, he's started to take things to heart.
Crumbly was 60 the other day.
We were at his birthday party.
Yeah.
He is now officially old.
Yes.
And no one wants to talk to him. It's ageism.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to start wearing a wig and you know, Reeboks and things.
Don't ever, ever, ever do that. Write to us via show
at staggeringstories.net. We've been off to the cinema.
Yes, we have. With unlimited cards in hand.
Indeed. Pat, I think we all three of us seen this at least twice.
Yes.
Yeah. What did we see?
We saw something called Deadpool and Wolverine.
Pause for music.
It has music.
This is another reason Jean's not here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she's had a sense of humour failure.
Apparently, yeah.
Jean's never been a big
superhero
fan, and she found this to be a bit meh.
Really?
The rest of us, though, thought we were going to actually pop with laughing. This is the most... Oh, it's so
irrelevant?
Funny. It's irreverent. It's just hilarious. It's the fourth wall doesn't exist.
No, stands as Deadpool in that regard.
Yeah, it's just unbelievably naughty, and I loved this.
So it's Deadpool effectively ending the 20th Century Fox X-Men era and coming into the MCU. Yeah,
being embraced by the MCU.
As he told us.
He makes a lot of mention of being MCU Jesus.
Which apparently, and it's wonderful when these people do it, these people somewhere, I think in Alabama, went to see it. They've seen Deadpool before, and they stormed out offended when he called himself Marvel Jesus. And then not only were they offended, but they went to the newspapers to tell them how offended they were.
And became
sort of memes.
Yeah. I think there is actually one point in time where he grabs the camera, which you'll assume is the Fox camera, and says, you pointing directly at the camera, I'm better than you, I'm doing it now, and then headbutts the camera. And then we cut back to another camera, and of course there's nothing there.
And at one point you've got the 20th Century Fox logo buried into the sand in this trash world.
Yeah, it's taken from the TVA, which is taken from Loki.
Silly comics originally, but yeah.
Yeah, and the look of it, the setup, because I believe the supervisor we see right at the end.
Yeah, Hunter B-52,
from the Loki TV series.
Basically, we're in the universe where Logan died heroically.
Yes.
And made us all cry a lot.
Now, that's in the future.
Which I'd like to point out isn't actually the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
No. But anyway, Deadpool has to go and find a Wolverine, because Wolverine's,
an anchor,
not what you are. Yeah, an anchor being, and of course, is dead. So has to go and find a Wolverine. Yeah. Goes to that world to dig up this Wolverine, because can't possibly be dead, can he? And he's
regenerative.
Confident. Digging up, and then discovers that he is dead.
I do love is the fact that it's a metal adamantium skeleton.
I'm not a doctor, but I think you quite decompose. He's got it with his leg crossed.
Yeah. And leans across and manipulates his mouth. You know, good day, mate. How are you?
There's an amazing fight in which Deadpool says, and he kept his word, he never once drew his weapons. He fights them with the bits of Wolverine.
Yeah. He fights them with the bits of Wolverine in slow-mo over the opening credits.
Dancing. You
had to remind me of the dancing.
He always has very creative intros.
Yeah.
Often in slow-mo action scenes, which they come back to later.
So God's own sweet idiot.
This whole thing is set in... No, Pandora is the Badlands. It's set in the...
The void at the end
void.
Of time.
The void, yeah. It's... All the nasties
The TVA saying everything that they've pruned from the timelines.
Yep, and there's someone down there we weren't expecting. She was a surprise. Yeah. We won't spoiler it.
There's quite a few there we weren't expecting.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. And the shenanigans down there. Oh, dear, oh, dear.
There are quite a few cameos. Yes. Guest spots, and I'm sure we won't be able to cover all the Easter eggs that we've identified, but there's also some. But I do have to point out is that the first cameo that we get when they first end up in the end of time, the end of the worlds, is Chris Evans. And of course, the main reaction is, oh, it's Captain America. And you've got Deadpool going, he's going to do the thing, he's going to
Avengers
do the thing.
Avengers assemble!
And he goes, Avengers! And then he shouts out Flame One. It's Flame On, because it's actually Johnny Storm from the first Fantastic Four film, which was, 98?
Something silly.
A long time ago. Yeah.
That's what I mean, is the reach of this film.
Very clever.
I'm quite suspicious, or not suspicious, but suspect of the fact that it's... You don't get any Sony Easter eggs.
No.
There are no... Because that is probably still an ongoing franchise, as much as Sony wants it to be ongoing.
They probably have to jump through so many legal hoops to do that. Yeah. Was anything 20th Century Fox?
Disney. But I'm willing to let that go.
It's all the stuff that's so close to the mark, like when he's with Blind Al. And as Pete said, you call her Blind Owl. Oh, she's blind. And they definitely definitely couldn't mention cocaine.
No, no. What about white blow?
Oblivion marching powder.
Want to be a little snowman?
And you have a Miss Deadpool at some point.
Lady Deadpool,
who they'd pointed out had just had a baby. And she, wow, he's got a... She was played by Blake Lively, Ryan Reynolds' wife.
A couple of British villains.
It was mentioned, by the way, there's another British villain around here.
So from the TVA, we had Paradox, played by Matthew McFadyen.
What a pompous name.
He's doing completely campy and up.
Oh, yeah.
Now listen here, Mr. Darcy.
And then we had, what was her name? Cassandra Nova.
No, Cassandra Nova, that's it.
Yeah, we had Cassandra Nova.
She was a bit strange.
Yeah.
She was quite off the ball.
Charles Xavier's or Xavier, depending on how you pronounce it.
Twin sister or something.
Which again...
There are loads of spoilers here.
It's from the comics.
Yeah, I'm sure. Was she ever referenced in the X-Men film?
I don't think so.
I don't remember it, but then I don't remember much of those films. Yeah.
But apparently she tried to strangle Charles in utero.
Yeah.
And there's love, sort of like an moment where she had a Doctor Strange's swing maker. And she mentioned the passing magician who she killed.
Well, there's so many Doctor Strange's in different variants.
And as for where they live, that was it was a silly little throwaway joke that just made me go, ha! The baddie's lair, basically Ant-Man is huge.
Yeah, is Giant Man.
And has died, and you've got Ant-Man's costume lying there and his hands open to let them all in, and they all live in there. And then the helmet opens to reveal her, and Deadpool goes, well, Paul Rudd finally aged, and it's just a skeleton.
It's just a skull.
Yeah.
So I also like the fact that, unlike Charles Xavier, who's a distant telepath, Cassandra has to be a touch telepath. So basically she's putting her hand phasing through their heads.
That was a really good effect.
Yeah.
Phasing and teleportation parallel.
Yeah, the fingers under the skin. Yeah. Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, for me, surprisingly, how fun and silly this film is.
Mm.
Yeah.
There is also a huge amount of pathos in it. Certainly with Logan's story.
Yeah,
because it's not our Logan that we're used to. It's a different Logan.
Oh, this Logan was not a good Wolverine.
Worst Logan.
It is the worst Logan.
But he does do something no other Wolverine's done. Mm. He wears the costume.
Oh, yes.
He does, yeah.
And he even put the hat up at one point.
Was it? Something about a sock and nerds.
Oh, yeah. Deadpool looks... They were going to fight. We're going to fight now. Nerds, it's time to get out the good sock. That was a cool fight.
There are
so many really good fight scenes in this.
It's certainly Logan with his temperament and Wade Wilson with his temperament.
Yeah.
They do sort of clash.
They
were fighting in a Honda Civic to You're the One That I Want from Greece. And it was just the most... fantastic thing I've ever seen. Although I must say, baby knife,
yeah. He's got this small short dagger, and every time he pulls it out and plunges it into someone, you can hear high-pitched baby knife.
This film has about 100 different Deadpools in it at one point.
Oh, yeah. We get various
including
variant.
Dogpool.
Yeah.
Or Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
It's the same breed of dog that Carrie Fisher used to have.
Yeah.
The one that seems incapable of having its tongue in its mouth.
Its tongue is about 5 times longer than its actual body.
I'm just going to look up what sort of dog it was.
We've mentioned earlier the various cameos. It's nice to see that this is a film that actually includes a Stan Lee cameo again.
Yeah, he's on the side of the bus.
He's on the side of the bus.
Yeah. Lots of little Easter eggs like that throughout.
Yeah. It wraps up the Fox X-Men universe,
mm-hmm.
but also perhaps gives it a lease of life in the MCU universe.
Yes. Obviously, so we've for a long time had a way for them to cross over. But yeah, this made it more explicit.
Yeah.
Can I just say, Mary Poppins is a Chihuahua Italian Greyhound mix. What the hell? Was that a very determined Chihuahua?
Yep. And of course, we do have to mention Nice Pool.
Nice Pool, that was just so wrong. Nice Pool was Mary Poppins'
owner. Yeah, original owner.
If you can ever actually own a dog. Trying to think. So you had Nice Pool.
Yeah.
Lady Deadpool.
Yeah.
Baby Pool.
Kid Pool.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
Cowboy Deadpool.
It's either Deadpool or Headpool.
Who was voiced by Nathan Fillion.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was one with a gas mask on.
There was.
You wanted to say, mummy. Are you my mummy?
There was certainly a an Iron Man variant there.
There was.
Sort of neon and a samurai pole.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. And that was another really good fight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Although the bit where Wolverine picks up Mary Poppins and everyone, of course, stops.
Stops, yeah.
And he just ambles across from one piece of shelter to another.
Yeah.
And as soon as he's gone, it all starts again.
Yeah, yeah. The fact that hot dog or falafel cartons have full triage centres in them,
yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah, right.
It's just so, so silly. So very silly. What they're trying to do is basically save this universe.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Deadpool's universe.
Because he's got a picture. Deadpool he was Prime. They had a birthday party for him at the beginning.
With the wig.
Oh. And it's him and Blind Al and all his friends.
All the people from the previous
nine
films.
Nine of them there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's determined to save this universe because he's got this picture and he says, they're the nine people I love most.
Yeah.
And he seems to forget that not everyone feels the same way as him.
Yeah. Certainly at the beginning of the film, he has given up the Deadpool life. He's had a
he's
midlife
a
crisis.
Car salesman. as that wig screamed.
He managed to jump timelines into the MCU universe and tried to become an Avenger.
Mm.
Excellent. Happy Hogan.
Yeah,
cameo,
happy. Yeah. Happy
which cameo. Was pointed out. So not everyone can do what I do. What cameos?
And because he was turned down from that, he sort of has a midlife crisis and his life has stalled, is the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
What I find curious is people die naturally. So if
doesn't work.
That timeline's Logan had lived to an end of his life, would have another anchor figure have arrived?
Oh, sort of like Slayers once in every generation.
Yeah, yeah. But obviously because he died earlier or he died whatever.
He's 200 odd years old when he died.
He was, yeah.
He's hardly early.
Yeah.
It was earlier than it would have been.
Well, yeah. he could have lived a bit longer, but he was on his last legs.
It's a small quibble. I'm just wondering how that works.
I don't think it does. Because if your anchor being dies and then time unravels backwards,
yeah,
then why does it even exist in the first place, your timeline? It doesn't make sense.
No, I think that when an anchor being dies, if it's done properly, if the timeline isn't screwed, another anchor being is selected.
I did like the ending with the time shredder, and I don't want to go into too much detail about it because it's a major plot point. But the sacrificial moment with
the Spock,
the Vulcan salute,
yeah.
and then flying past the window, taking the elevator down past the window, walking past the
because they weren't on any sort of deadline or time limit there.
No.
It was so good. The end was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Was it Like a Prayer by Madonna that they were saving the universe?
Yes.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah.
It's a very, very good song list on this.
Oh,
I've been through and put the ones I really like on my own personal playlist.
Yeah.
But yeah, fantastic song list.
If this is the last one, then I think it's gone out in a high.
I can't imagine it will be the
It's hit billion, hasn't it?
And it's gone over a billion worldwide.
Yeah.
As was pointed out, they're going to make it work till he's 90.
Yeah. I don't know if we'll see Hugh Jackman again.
Yeah.
It could go either way, but
apparently we will when he's 90.
Well, yeah. He's retired once from the role. He can come back again if he has to. But
yeah. And it was fantastic.
Yeah, good.
I do recommend it.
I do look forward to the Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah.
For the behind the scenes. See how many times Ryan Reynolds made Hugh Jackman crack up.
That was one of
up.
The things I mentioned. When he's holding the dog, you've got Wolverine standing in the background, and he says, it's like a gremlin f***ed an artichoke angrily. And I swear to God, Hugh Jackman was corpsing.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Well, as I say, apparently, even during the making of this, Ryan Reynolds was pitching film ideas.
Yeah, there's a long way you can take this character. It's not really a complaint, but an observation that it does feel like Wade Wilson and Logan were in two different films throughout a lot of the runtime.
Such as the drinking whiskey by the campfire being melancholy.
Yeah, that was really the sort of thing you would see in the film Logan.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was very much a callback, a continuation, really, of that film.
Especially because Daphne Keane was there.
Yeah.
X-23. So I'm not the person you think I am. You never were until you were.
Yeah, some nice touching moments there. And then you got Deadpool doing his Deadpool stuff.
And as always, wait till the end of the credits for this, because it is particularly good.
Yeah.
Mm. There's an in-credits sequence, which is just nostalgia.
Yeah, the in-credits sequence is all behind-the-scenes sequence from the X-Men over the years. Films.
Yeah.
But there is an extra bit at the end that you have to wait for.
What a mouth.
So
every now and again, I think the superhero genre is dying. It's run out of steam. Nobody's going to see it. But every now and again, something like this pops up.
It's because it's so different to anything. It just doesn't take itself seriously.
It's that, and you can tell that they really believe in what they're doing. Yeah. Ryan Reynolds believes in this. Well, he's having fun doing it.
Well, it's strange. The only person to ever have played Logan is Hugh Jackman. Also, what people don't seem to realise is also the only person ever to play Wade Wilson, Deadpool, is Ryan Reynolds.
In this, because not so much now, but
he was the Deadpool from the Wolverine film back in the X-Men genre.
Yeah, though his wife's now played it too, so you know.
Yeah, but that's a variant. So, you know.
Yeah. And I think that's why this works so well. You can tell that they really made it, and there was little no interference from the studio.
Oh yeah,
the stuff they got away with.
Yeah,
oh totally. And
I feel the same way about the Guardians of the Galaxy stuff.
Yeah,
they just let James Gunn do his thing.
Yeah, they know what he's doing. They're confident with what he's doing, just let him get on with it.
It's no surprise that the two films since Endgame that have really worked are James Gunn and Ryan Reynolds' films, I think. Yeah.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. It's a pity Jean didn't enjoy this.
Yeah. Maybe she will on rewatch. Maybe it's just
We'll make her.
Yeah.
Strap her down.
Shall we clockwork orange her?
Yeah.
No, not that way. I mean, with the holding the eyes
open. The eyes! I'm sorry, I thought the orange right up there.
No.
Maybe tangerine.
As always, write to us. Tell us what you thought of it via show
at
staggeringstories.net. Now we have, if I am correct, something from one of our number who, although dead, has written a Crumbly's Corner.
Oh.
Let's see what he has to say.
Crumbly's Corner!
Hello, Crumbly here. Sorry I'm not at tonight's podcast, but I am currently on holiday in the sunny climes of Hampshire. However, I would like to put in my fourpenny's worth about what has been discussed here tonight. It's another outing for the Paternoster Row gang, as they get up to various shenanigans in Victorian London. These three episodes are done in a reminiscing style, with Madame Vastra casting her mind back to various cases that they've investigated. The first of these episodes, Anne of a Thousand Light Years, deals with literally star-crossed lovers, Lady Chatterley's lover it ain't, as one of the lovers isn't just of a different social class, but also almost of a completely different alien race. All sorts of hijinks ensue, as the lovers from different social classes and star systems struggle to conduct their romance. The second, Paternoster, is very reminiscent of The Talons of Wen Chiang, the only difference being that it's an alien chef, of all things, and not giant rats prowling around the sewers of London. And finally, The Gentleman Thieves. What would you do if a raffle-style thief could be in two different places simultaneously? As usual, the cast carry out their roles with gusto, and all I can say is the role of Strax was made for Dan Starkey. Given the chance, Strax would take the slightest instant and opportunity as an excuse to deploy various forms of weaponry and use it gleefully with extreme violence. He is definitely the comedic part of the trio. Nobody seems to notice that he is not human, but the terms used to describe him, like being a very wide butler and an angry acorn, seem to suit him very well. This trio of stories ends on a cliffhanger, so I'll be very interested to see what passes in the next episode. Now, I would like to continue with a couple of 30-ish second recommendations, the first one being the Amazon Prime series The Boys. What would you think if all superheroes were not paragons of virtue at all? No truth, justice, and being American as mom's apple pie, but were scheming, devious, and full of self-interest. The worst of these is Homelander, who is immoral, cold, and at sometimes murderous at worst. The rest of the seven, as they like to call themselves, are scarcely better. What else can I say? It is bloody, with an excess of gore, very sweary, so don't sit your maiden aunt down in front of an episode. Rather kinky and perverse at times, but there is also a strong vein of black humour running through it as well. Continuing in the superheroes vein is Heroes. Save the cheerleader, save the world is the tagline for this series, which sees ordinary people develop extraordinary powers. The last time I watched it was when it was originally aired back in 2006, so myself and Fake Crumbly are gradually working our way through the series again. Well, that's me all done for this time. I'll be back in the studio for the next podcast. So until then, this is me, Crumbly, saying, be seeing you.
Thank you, Crumbly.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, man. Okay.
We haven't forgotten you. Oh, he's going again.
Urinating again. How's he managed that?
Are you going to get him a little hat with a propeller on it, like Deadpool hat?
Yeah, like Deadpool.
One, two, three.
Hello, head of Pertwee.
Not played by Nathan Fillion.
Hello, Inky McSquirts a lot.
Handles, various nebulas and ponds.
Daisilla the Mighty.
Daisilla the Mighty.
Terrence. Graham.
Your nebulas really need dusting.
Dirty nebula.
Dangerous Churchill, Nazi Spock.
Folded up and propped against a radiator, Clara. And a Moomin. Oh, dear. So, as was said before, quite pointedly, we have no feedback.
Although we are recording a day early due to bank holiday, but...
But if we had feedback, where would they send it?
Show!
At...
StaggeringStories.net! Yes, that'll do it.
Okay.
Worst comes to the worst, just shout at people.
Yeah.
It works if you're abroad.
I am abroad. Oh, you mean abroad.
What?
You are not abroad, you are a goddess.
Oh, God.
Lead us out, Fake Keith.
And so that brings us to the end of another Staggering Stories podcast.
Thank God.
Tune in for the next one where there'll be more of the same.
No more, please.
Fun, frivolity and jollity, more news and reviews, more who old and new, hopefully. So until that...
D for Deadpool?
D for Deadpool.
Dashed.
Devastating.
Darn it.
Debonair.
Dusting with a dildo.
Okay. I'm sure that would work very well.
You might need to edit that bit out.
Comes dancing daintily downhill towards us. This is me, Fake Heath, saying farewell.
Goodbye.
I've got this terrible pain behind the eyes.
Have you considered amputation? You have been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, Series 1, Number 453, featuring Adam Purcell, Fake Keith and Real Keith Dunn. The views expressed are those of the speaker and don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers or the site. No copyright infringement is intended, and this has been an El Presidente production for www.staggeringstories.net.
Looks all right, too.
Just checking Tom's not dead. One day that's going to backfire horribly.
Yeah. Chance of it just for a podcast. Pretty low. Probably be a day after record.
Or, like Carrie Fisher, the hour after.
Yeah.
Bitch did that on purpose. Right, this is the second box set. Let me find the bloody thing so I can remember what it's bloody about.
Trespassers, the casebook of Paternoster Row.
Probably.
They've gone back to their old website.
Have they?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And box 3 and box 4 are up there as well.
You can buy them, but I think they're out yet.
Available December 2024. Yes, yep. You're right. And the other one, available May 2025.
Yep.
Okay, start that again.
Ooh. I can wear Reeboks.
An old man trying to talk like you know what the kids are saying.
I am down with the kids.
Yes, dear, of course you are.
I get no respect. No respect.
There's a reason. Stop it with the sound box. You have been listening to this. No, that's not right.
Lead us out, Fake Keith.
Don't start that again, because I was talking over the top of you.
I know.
Say lead us out, Fake Keith. The views expressed here are those...
Of the speaker.
The views expressed here are those of the speaker and don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers or the site.
No copyright infringement.
I can't think today. Menopause is a bitch.